Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. And you know, we made the point in the past, knowing the knowledge, and this is a personal knowledge, by the way. This is not just facts. This is not stuff where you just fill out a paper and take a test. This is knowing him in the sense that we know one another because we spend time together. Now, how would you ever get to know somebody if it was just through letters, for example, or just information you read in a book about them? There's no substitute for spending time with somebody, interacting with them in the daily activities of life. That's what God wants for every one of his children. He wants you to know him, not just know about him. I need God to interact with my heart and with my life to change the way I see everything, so that I not only know what's right in the face of what the world declares, but I have some understanding of why it's this way. And I know what to do with it. I need wisdom. How do I take this knowledge, the stuff that he reveals to me, how do I live it out? How does that interact with my earthly life? I need help. I need God to do something that's special for me, to take me past all of my earthly understanding and my earthly weaknesses. Okay? So that's what Paul is praying. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart. How many of you know that your heart has eyes? It's a way to express that I need down here, I need to have eyes that are open. I need to have an understanding that's open to him so that I can see stuff as it really is and not as the world or the devil wants to paint it. That's the problem with the world. Their hearts are closed. They're so attached to this world, believing what it says, believing its lies, that when God comes around and begins to try to talk to them, they're immediately close off their heart and say, no, I know how it is. I know what I want. It's my life. Go away. But I'll tell you, God is looking for a people who have their eyes of their heart open. You got to have an open heart for that to happen. But I need him to show me things so that my heart can see things as they really are. All right? I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Okay? Now, why? In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. It's already been mentioned that was a theme in yesterday's service, and we talked about very briefly, hope, as God talks about it, has nothing to do with how we use the word as human beings. We use it as wishful thinking. There are things that I would like to happen in the future, and I'm trying to make them happen, and I hope that's how it turns out. But there's no certainty to it, because we aren't in control. But I'll tell you, what God is talking about here is something that is absolutely certain, because it's based upon a God who cannot lie, a God who lives outside of time and space, who can call things that are not as though they are. He has absolutely already accomplished everything as if it had already happened. Folks, there is a certainty in what God has promised, and God wants us to understand it and live it. Understand, live like it's true, because it is. All right? So but I need to know that in my heart. I need to have a personal knowledge that is not just because somebody says so and they sound good and I sort of believe it because Phil says it or somebody else. God wants you to have a personal relationship, an encounter with God himself, to where he can talk to your heart and you can know something down here. You could know it to the point where if they put a gun to your head and say, make a choice, you'd say, I know, because God has showed me in my heart. It's real, and that's more real than anything this world has to offer. This is a passing, temporary world that's going to pass away. The God I serve has plans forever. That's where I'm headed. That's my expectation, because it's not just a wishful thinking. It's an expectation of something that is certain, because God cannot lie. Praise God. All right, so he wants us to know that and have personal knowledge of that to which he has called you. I'll tell you, that's how we get in the first place. God has to call, and we got to listen. I'll tell you, if God's calling, and you've never really let go, you better listen. This is not just some religious thing. There's a God who made everything, who's behind everything. And He loves you with a love you can't even imagine. And I tell you, if He begins to talk to your heart, you better listen. Your destiny depends upon it. Anyway, the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. You know, I got to thinking about that. What He's talking about is God's riches. God is rich, isn't He? When he looks at the world, there are riches here that He values above all else. Do you think He values the hills and the valleys and the oceans and the gold and all of that? You think that's what's important to Him when He thinks about the world? Oh, I'm rich. The one thing that God thinks about when He thinks about His riches and His possession, it's us. You want to know how He thinks about you and how He values you? You know, if we had a piece of gold right here, we'd say, oh boy, wow, that's valuable. That's how He sees you if you're His. We need to see ourselves in God's eyes, through God's eyes. We are His riches. We are His treasure in this world. There's going to come a time when He'll remove the treasure and burn up the rest. I don't think that's as far off as some of us might think it is. But it'll be in God's time, in God's way. He's going to call in every one of His, and then He's going to call them out and burn it up. But thank God. That's how we need to see ourselves, through God's eyes. You are His treasure. Not because there's some value in you as you were born into this world, but because of what He has placed in your heart, what He has done. It's all because of Him. All right? The riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. And His incomparably great power. You know, these are things we've talked about many times. But this is not just incomparably great power where we can say, wow, that's great. It's for us. It's for us. God wants you to realize, and me, more than I do, and I confess it, I need to realize that the power that He demonstrated when He brought Christ out of that tomb, brought Him to heaven, set Him over everything, gave Him a name that's above every name. That's the same power that He offers to work in me. I need it. Anybody here with me on that? Yeah, we need actual power. I don't need more information. I need power. I don't have it. I wasn't born with it. I need divine help to be what He wants. Okay? Now, here's a question that sounds silly. The things that Paul was moved upon, no doubt by God's Spirit, to pray for the people, was there anything he said that was contrary to God's will? I mean, was God looking down and saying, Paul, you're getting carried away again. All this stuff you're telling them, you're going way beyond my purpose. No, everything he puts in here, that's God's will. Okay? But this is, I believe that God wants us to get beyond just saying, well, that's awesome. Paul prayed all these wonderful things. I believe with all my heart, God wants us to learn how to take this word personally. And when we encounter something in here that is unquestionably God's will for us, that we start praying that for ourselves. Think about that. Now let's turn this into a personal prayer. That's kind of where I'm going with this. Because it's wonderful to see all the purposes of God and the truth of God and what He has for me and what He wants for me. But we've often referred to the scripture where the word says, you have not because you ask not. See, God's done all of this, but He wants to bring up sons and daughters, not robots. He wants sons and daughters who long to participate and receive and become what He has purposed that we become. He wants us to participate in that. And part of that is praying and asking, recognizing something that God has said is mine and saying, God, I ask for that and I believe You because it is Your word. It is Your will. I'm not asking something that's outside of Your plan for me. Now, yeah, if it gets down to an earthly question, yeah, I need to have wisdom from Him about is this His will or is that. But I know this is his will. There's no question here. I need this. So anyway, so what would the prayer be? Lord, I pray, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know him better. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called me, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And I'm one of them. Oh, because of his mercy entirely. I can't look in the mirror and find a single reason why I should be a treasure in his eyes. What an awesome God we serve. Praise God. And his incomparably great power for me who believes. That's his power, but it was for me. Now, we can pray that for each other too, can't we? Now, is there any question about whether what we have just read is God's will for us? So what are we doing sitting around not asking him for it and not expecting it to happen? Now, I'm certainly not talking about some glorious, something where we have this grand experience, is the word I was looking for, and suddenly we leapfrog into all of this. But there is a process where we need to be asking God, I know what your purpose is. I know where you're taking me. When you get done with me, I'm going to be presented as a full-grown son. And it's going to be all you who have done it. But I'm asking you to bring that process to fruition. Work it in me actively, day by day. I want to know you better. I want to understand more. I want you to change my way of thinking. I want you to do all this stuff that you say, so that it becomes mine and I can actually grow up as one of your children and not just blindly blunder through the world and, you know, sort of assert mentally all the stuff I'm supposed to believe. You know, what would it be like if a small child just learned all about being human but never ate anything or never exercised? That's a silly illustration, but it wouldn't make much sense. But we have been born, if we are his, if he has come to reside, we have been born of his spirit, but now there's a growing process. There's a reason we're here. And it's to grow up to be his children. But I wonder if this is sometimes a missing ingredient. Are we recognizing this is his will? There's no question about it. He's told me that if I ask something that's according to his will, it's as good as done because he's faithful. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? Is this true? Am I just making this up? Is this just fantasy? No, it isn't. And there are a couple of other passages that we can, you know, refresh our memories about where Paul is also praying. Think about chapter 3. You know, Paul wants them, I'll just kind of skim through how he leads into this, but he talks about the fact that God had revealed to him a mystery, something that had been hidden before he came along.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.